But when the general election was called, what consideration was given, if any, to the Stormont crisis? Here are a few snippets from the Prime Minister's announcement.
British people, Britain, Britain, and a United Kingdom. The other political parties, Westminster, Westminster, Labour, the Liberal Democrats, the Scottish National Party. Unelected members of the House of Lords, Westminster, the opposition parties. Jeremy Corbyn, the Liberal Democrats, and Nicola Sturgeon and the SNP. Britain, presidents and chancellors of the European Union. For a stronger Britain.
So, did you notice anything missing in that speech? Northern Ireland, the border, Stormont crisis, anything like that? Not a word about Northern Ireland in Theresa May's speech calling an election. So, does the government care about what is going on here? Is it deliberate? Or perhaps should we just get over ourselves? We're joined this morning by commentator and journalist Newton Emerson and the former MLA Basil McRae. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
What do you reckon, Basil? Are we a little bit oversensitive? Do we focus on ourselves in Northern Ireland too much?
I certainly think that the only people that really care about Northern Ireland are those of us that live here. It's quite obvious, been obvious for some time, that Westminster really has no regard for Northern Ireland, and it didn't feature at all in her thinking.
What do you reckon, Newton, in terms of the responsibility that they do have in Westminster? Because we like to feel that we are independent to an extent. We have Stormont here. We can try, obviously it's slightly different at the minute, try and control what's happening here, and we would like to return to that position. So should Westminster be trying more to get us back up on our feet?
Well, I mean, that's something on which nationalists are conflicted. They want Britain to butt out of our affairs, but also somehow to fix them. I mean, I think that's part of the confusion around this. Listening to the complaints over the past few days, I've wondered, since when has not taking Northern Ireland seriously been such a bad thing? Perhaps it's a good thing. The last deal at Stormont, Fresh Start, was raised very clearly by a policy of hands off by David Cameron and Theresa Villiers. They just sat back, smiled and nodded, and let the DUP and Sinn Féin come to an eventual agreement by themselves. I don't see why that policy shouldn't work again. And I don't see why an election, a general election, makes makes any difference. It might put a little bit of a pause on things for a few weeks while the parties here campaign. I think that is obvious enough. But why should that make a difference to a deal at Stormont, especially now that, I mean, we were in injury time with the talks process anyway. We're already well past when an election should technically have been called to Stormont, that is.
Well, of course, we've talked even on this programme about that ever-moving deadline and the kind of soft deadline that we've been waiting on in terms of an actual response. Basil, in terms of the government and their responsibility, they are guarantors of the peace process. So surely that suggests a very strong responsibility here. And the fact now that the complete distraction that will be the general election is going to take away from that.
Look, we don't feature on the government's thought processes.
Why not, maybe, though? You say that, like, you're a former MLA from here. Most people will like to think that, of course we do. Automatically, we would. So why do you think we don't?
Because we're only 2.4% of the United Kingdom, and half of that 2.4% doesn't want to be part of the United Kingdom, and we're always fighting with one another. And in the end, what they say is, listen, you've got a devolved government, sort it out yourself.
But we don't.
The big problem, Vinny, is that we've lost the capacity to sort it out ourselves. You know, what Newton's saying there, oh yeah, we'll come to a deal. Actually, none of the deals that have come through have really worked. They can't do it. They need help from outside agencies. And there's no help coming.
So where are we left then, Basil? We're in like this no man's land where no one seems to care outside of ourselves.
Yeah, that's where the end game of this politics is heading for. That we can't solve the problems. We can't solve not just the problem of politics, but we can't solve the issues facing the health service or anything else, because they require decisions that are too difficult to take in a local political context. And actually, the only way that we know how to resolve these things is have a crisis and hope that somebody will fly in from outside to try and fix it. And unfortunately, it's a bit like the little boy crying wolf too often. I just don't think that we have the attention or the interest of any of the sovereign governments anymore.
Well, let's see what you think at home this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. John, first call of the day. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Vinny.
Good morning.
I believe strongly that we're now going into direct rule. And the reasons why we're going into direct rule is this. Sinn Féin and the SDLP look at Northern Ireland as an all-Ireland. We're not an all-Ireland. And while they're up at Stormont, they're pushing for that, an all-Ireland agenda. It will not work.
But of course, John, Brexit is also, many are saying that's the reason that this general election has been called in the first place.
Brexit holds Sinn Féin and the SDLP below the waterline. Was that to show them once for all that their dream and pipe dream of United Ireland has now been put in the back burner for years? So it has. Because once we do leave the EU, the Irish Republic will then be a foreign country. So their dreams of an all-Ireland is nil. And that is why the stumbling block is up at Stormont. And they've had weeks to sort this out at Stormont, and they cannot...
I know, but you can't put responsibility completely on... I don't want to go back into the reason for the talks here, because we're trying to talk about something different this morning, but for the reason why Stormont is in the situation it is, because, of course, Sinn Féin are essentially blaming the DUP, and the DUP say, well, look, Sinn Féin brought this down in the first place. So putting that aside, Brexit, going back to that issue, once again, is why we're having this election. And some will maybe argue that's why we are now being sidelined once again by Westminster, because they have this other huge issue to try and sort out in the next few weeks, John.
Well, that's why I would have a very strong warning for the DUP regarding Brexit. During the Brexit negotiations, Nigel Dodge came out on a regular basis saying that the DUP MPs would have a voice in Westminster. They're now saying the exact same about this, that they will have a voice at Westminster. Theresa May does not need unionists in Westminster. She is pushing for her own majority of Conservatives.
Well, John, when we were talking about this yesterday, one thing that Gregory Campbell, I think it was saying that while they may be small in numbers, sometimes depending on how the vote would turn, the likes of Theresa may need to rely on the smaller parties when she's trying to get certain things across, maybe even whatever deal she gets on Brexit. I want to play a clip for you. The Shadow Secretary of State, Dave Anderson, has accused the PM of treating Northern Ireland with contempt for calling a snap election in the middle of talks about, of course, the Stormont executive. He told Good Morning Ulster that he regarded Mrs May's handling of the talks process as a dereliction of duty.
Yet again, they've been ignored by this government in exactly the same way as they were ignored pre-Brexit, when people were saying to them, are you really aware of what you're doing here? And they just treat people in Northern Ireland with contempt. And they've done exactly the same this week by calling this general election.
So what do you think, listening this morning? Are they holding us, you know, regarding us with contempt? Do they not really care? Are we such an island on our own away from Westminster that when there are issues they have to sort out in London, then we are less than a second thought? 030 30 80 55 55. Ken in Dundonald. Go ahead, Ken.
Hello, Vinny. Theresa May, as far as I'm concerned, she hasn't put a foot wrong so far as Prime Minister. She has a 65 million or 70 million population to take care of, to govern. Why should she... I mean, our lot have had 6 or 7 weeks of... To set up their own devolved government. They haven't taken it. It's, to use a reptilian expression, it's just crocodile tears. All the people in England and Scotland, they're the wealth creators. They're the tax raisers. All that we are.
It doesn't make us any less relevant. I get your point in terms of the block grant and what we put into the UK as to what we get out, but does it make us any less valid, the fact that we are here, we are, you know, Northern Ireland exists, and we are part of the UK, therefore should be just as important as the other regions?
Northern Ireland is an important part of the Union, and certainly I would not want to live in the Republic of Ireland. Definitely no way. But the thing about it is, our people just take it for granted. oh, aye, the UK will come to our aid, the UK will put so much money in, etc., etc. I'll give you an example, one example. It's off the Nolan show. When they were talking about the RHI, it didn't seem to be any plug on how much money was going down the tubes. When John O'Dowd was on the TV Nolan show, he was asked, "Well, how much is this Irish language thing going to cost?" He said, "I don't care how much it'll cost. The thing about it is,
what do you mean? Who doesn't care?"
He said that on the Nolan show. So
the question this morning, though, is should they care?
All that our lot want is they want the British government to keep on funding, and then, you know, throw it all back in their face. My goodness, you know,
is the alternative to that? We are part of the UK. In terms of our finances, we can't, as things are, support ourselves without the support that we get from Westminster in terms of the block grant. So what do you want us to do?
Pardon?
In terms of how things run at the minute, we get support from Westminster, we get a block grant of money, we can't support ourselves independently. So what do you want us to do?
I've always said that Stormont will not work in its present context, and the best thing is direct rule. I've said that for many years.
Okay, Newton Emerson, Sinn Féin, the leader in the North, Michelle O'Neill, she's not holding back any words. A blatant disregard. She goes on to say that the PM's announcement of the election was about the Tory party's self-interest. So this is not really about what's the best for the UK. It's what's best for her party.
Well, what you're hearing from Michelle O'Neill and the Shadow Secretary of State, Dave Anderson, and you and me, and all of us really on this programme, is this kind of assumption devolution has caused us all to make, that we live in a federal state, that somehow Westminster must take consideration of electoral mechanics in Stormont and so on when decisions like this are made. But we don't live in a federal state. Maybe we should. Maybe we will have to make the UK survive. But for the moment, we don't. We've two completely separate political systems, regionally and nationally, and there isn't even actually a convention on how elections should be scheduled. The Fixed Term Parliaments Act was supposed to synchronise them, but it doesn't synchronise decision making on how to call them. So I mean, what this all boils down to is we're living in this kind of fantasy where we think, you know, we're a four-part country with a top-level government that must all integrate.
Okay.
But it doesn't. And I mean, at a moment when an election has to be called, that is a decision taken entirely at Westminster level, which applies to us all equally. We're not in Northern Ireland or England or Scotland when these decisions are made. We're just UK citizens individually. This decision is taken for us over our heads at that level.
I want to bring in journalist Jude Collins at this point. Good morning to you, Jude.
Good morning, Vinny.
Jude, have we been totally sidelined here, or are we being oversensitive? Are we expecting too much?
Well, I think the answer is obvious, that there's no votes here for Theresa May. So that's a simple answer. If there's no votes here, why should she care how we get on or what damage it does, as long as there isn't violence breaking out again? I mean, it's to increase the number of votes for the Tory party that she's called the election in the first place, after having said repeatedly she wouldn't. So really, she maintains a charade of caring, this notion of being the champion of the UK. But if she can get away with it, she will eject us tomorrow, as would most of the population of Great Britain.
How do you think people,
if there was a referendum held, would get shot of us?
How do you think people here should be reacting to the election? Should they be surprised?
Well, it depends on how carefully they've been watching various prime ministers over the years, with the possible exception of Tony Blair. The UK government hasn't shown a great deal of interest in us. Admittedly, they send this block grant, which is various sums are quoted for it, but there's clearly no votes here. That's the key point we must remember. If there's no votes for the Conservative or the Labour Party, they're not going to be concerned with us, essentially. They'll make a sort of a window dressing of it. They'll make nice noises.
A window dressing, Jude.
The Prime Minister of all of the UK, but in practice, really, she doesn't care. leader.
The Alliance leader, Naomi Long, said it would be disgraceful for any party to use the impending general election to stall or withdraw from the current talks process here. Do you think that might happen, Jude?
Well, it's certainly not making things easier for them. And I think, in practice, most politicians here will be out knocking on doors. They're not going to be spending time in back rooms or front rooms arguing the case for...
So once again, we become second priority. The knock-on effect is we are sitting now in this everlasting limbo land.
That's right. We were in a mess in the first place because of the situation, and we're in a deeper mess now with an election going on. You know, it's like a group of people coming together and they'll have to strain every fibre to come to an agreement. And then somebody comes in and turns the table upside down.
Yeah, Naomi also said that there was little chance of solution now as a result of this. How do you think our politicians should be reacting?
Well, I think if there's an election call, they should be out knocking on doors. And that's what they will do. I don't think they need my advice on that.
But you've said yourself that
most of them, I think, want a devolved parliament or devolved assembly.
You said yourself, though, Jude, that you know it's difficult for them to do both. It's a busy time in the run-up
to an election,
and it's also a busy time
in talks to save Drummond.
Okay. Basil McRae, same question to you. What do you think our politicians should be doing now? How should they be reacting?
I think the reality is they will go out an electioneer, and... what you hear from a lot of political leaders, all of them really, people say about self-interest. Actually, elections are about self-interest. It is very much standing up there saying, please vote for me and we'll do a better job. So that's what they'll focus on. I mean, I think you're looking at maybe September now before you'll get anything back in the Assembly. This is going on the long finger. And the really worrying thing, Vinny, is the longer it goes on, the less likely it is to get the institutions back up.
Well, what impact, as a man that's been up there yourself, will that have here if things are pushed and perhaps, let's say, for example, it is September before we get any kind of normality back in Stormont?
So there's huge bureaucratic, and that's sometimes seen as a bad word, but shall we say organisational challenges. You know, people will have realised they haven't been sent a rates demand yet, you know, because we haven't passed the legislation. Budgets are going to be that are discretionary and not going to be put through, so that's going to worry the voluntary sector. There's going to be a real problem on the system. But ultimately, you know, Stormont is edging towards a we-can't-make-this-work type of syndrome, and it may need a fundamental re-engagement between Dublin and London and the politicians, but they won't do that until the whole thing absolutely copes. And my guess is that'll be sometime around about September.
So London and Dublin need to help sort it out?
Yeah, because...
Is there a bit of a contradiction there, Basil?
No, it's not actually. It's that... I'll tell you one thing. Under no circumstances will London go it alone in terms of direct rule. They spent years getting out of direct government of Northern Ireland. They're not going to go back in again.
Yeah, but they can't have it both ways. You know, we have to sort things out here, and if we need help to do that from Westminster, then they need to be focused on it to some extent. So we can't have it every way.
They'll only focus on it. At the moment, Westminster's policy is take a load of money and please go away and argue amongst yourselves. If you can't sort it out yourselves, eventually a crisis will develop that will demand attention. Now, the only way of resolving it, as far as London is concerned, is in association with Dublin. What format that will take, I don't know. They're really concerned to make sure that Sinn Féin are involved in the process. They're not so concerned about the unionists because they think the unionists are already on board. So you get into this really strange discussion about the real negotiation is not between the DUP and Sinn Féin, but between Sinn Féin and the British government. And that will play out over the summer period. It is questionable. I'm not sure yet that Sinn Féin actually want to see a quick return to Stormont. That's something...
Well, you think they want it to be dragged out?
Yes, I think that... this is only an opinion, obviously. I think that they are focused on the South. I think that's where the real issue. They made big gains in the last election in the Assembly. They're happy with the head count that they've got now. They don't really want to come and take some very difficult decisions about the health service and things like that. So let's avoid the decisions. Let's focus on the South. And it's somebody else's...
So nobody's doing anything, really. We're pushing it off, hoping that someone else will help, but they're busy doing something else and we're left here sitting like lemons.
That is exactly right, and that is a function of the type of government, the type of system that we picked, the Good Friday, the Belfast Agreement, got us into a situation where it assumed that people would work constructively together. I think the last 17 or 18 years seen that opportunity sort of wither, There's no unity of vision or spirit, no people trying to work together. It isn't going to work. You just see the attitude, the language between the DUP and Sinn Féin. It's obvious that they really don't get on with one another, and they will not make a joint government work.
Okay.
So at some stage, we're back to the drawing board.
All right, Basil McRae, I'll say thanks to you. We'll go to Jim in Derry. Good morning, Jim.
Hello there, Vinnie. How's things today?
Not bad at all. Go ahead.
No, just thinking that, you know, this is a problem of our own doing. You know, Stormont was brought down because the same reason Theresa May has called the election to get more votes, and now we can't get it back up again. And I don't know why we should be worried about Westminster. No, this is a problem of our own doing. We can't get organised. It's nothing to do with Westminster. It's not their fault. It's our fault. And, you know, it was brought down for exactly the same reason as Theresa May is calling her election to get more votes to get another mandate. You know, so I don't know what the problem is. And to be quite honest, the people in the UK are fed up with the shenanigans going on here. You know, as are most of the people in Northern Ireland.
Where do you think we are, Jim, in terms of priorities with Westminster?
With Westminster?
Yeah.
I think they're fed up with us now. I mean, it's been going on, it's been going on 30 years and we can't get started out. And they're just about fed up. They do what they can. We're part of the UK and they try and assist us when they need to and put us in the budget. But even when they give us the money, Stormont can't even get a budget together.
So what do we do?
Well, we need to get our politicians sorted out, or we need to get direct rule, because there's no movement at the minute. There's none whatsoever. They keep crying about Brexit and this and that and the other. We've no say in anything. We have people sitting and Stormont doing absolutely nothing, can't make an agreement, and it's all for political gain. It's got nothing to do with the people of Northern Ireland. There's jobs, there's work, there's education, there's the NHS, there's everything, and nothing's being done. And these idiots are sitting there moaning about Theresa May calling an election. What a bunch of numpties. And we shouldn't take it as a country. As a people in Northern Ireland, we should not sit back and take this rubbish. We need to do something and take, you know, things either change the way Stormont operates.
But do what, Jim? What are the options left to the ordinary person?
Well, there's very little, but we need to rethink how we vote and who we vote for and why we vote for them. We have to stop this tribal voting for a start.
Jim, thank you. Newton Emerson, how do you think, no one really knows obviously the answer to this question, but how do you think this is going to play out here in Northern Ireland over the next few months?
Well, even before the general election was called, there was a widely spoken consensus that nothing would happen with a Stormont agreement until September. And I had just assumed that meant then you were starting to look at Christmas. If you look at the past four annual talks crises we've had, they sort of cobble something together at the end of some kind of summer marching issue, and then it rolls through to a final Christmas crisis deadline where they finally patch something up. And I honestly thought we were looking at a repeat of that. So I don't think that a six-week general election campaign particularly derails that timescale. And in the meantime, in order to get these decisions made that callers are worried about, I understand that an interim sort of deal had been arranged between the Conservatives and Labour at Westminster to take essentially budget decisions for us, to just rubber stamp through budget decisions on the existing Stormont commitments, so that the lights would stay on. And I don't think people should be too panicked about that, because look at how few decisions Stormont took even when it was operating. It was always more or less running on administrative autopilot, and it can continue to do that for a very long time before you notice things starting to break down.
Yeah, Jude Collins, do we have anything positive to say about Stormont and about how it has operated and worked here over the last number of years?
Well, the very fact that it existed, Vinnie, I think is something to be said for it, which, given our history, it's quite an achievement that the DUP and Sinn Féin did form an executive. I'd be the last to not kick a politician, but I think maybe we're being a bit too hard. For one reason or another, they find themselves in the circumstances they are now. I think everybody's agreed, Newton and I think Basil as well, said that with this election, nothing's going to happen until June the 8th. June the 8th, we're then facing into the 12th. Now, there's no way there's going to be an election here or any deal done with the 12th on the horizon. So you're pushed forward quite quickly to September. But when September comes, I would be reasonably optimistic. I do actually believe that both Sinn Féin and the DUP want to have devolved government. Now, there's a lot of obstacles in the way of that happening, but I do think they both would like to see it actually working. People say that, they can avoid decision-making so that they look good in the South. They're certainly very, Sinn Féin is certainly very aware of the South and how the Southern electorate see them performing. But I don't think they believe that the Southern electorate look at them and see them out of government or unable to agree and think that's marvellous what they're doing up there. I think they would like to be in devolved executive and doing well, if at all possible, so that they could model their ability to exercise power and impress the Southern electorate with that.
Is it fair to say, Jude, that Nationalists will be quite nervous about direct rule from London?
Well, not so much nervous as certainly if you take Republicans, it seems to be obvious that Sinn Féin have worked for a long time now, years, to get as much power as possible transferred from Westminster to here, justice and policing and so on, and the devolved parliament or assembly in the first place. So I think they do want to have an executive up here in Stormont working. But there are an awful lot of obstacles. The one last thing I would say is I shy away from this notion that the one lot's as bad as the other. I think that's kind of lazy sort of judgment. I think you should look at what's happening, see what efforts are honestly being made by Sinn Féin, by the DUP, by the UUP, by the Alliance or whatever. And as in the light of that, then make your judgment. But it can't possibly be that both parties or all sides are equally to blame. I mean, that seems to me simplistic and extreme.
Okay. Jude Collins and Newton Emerson, thank you very much.